Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this segment, we are going to continue in our exposition of my latest book, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. And last time we got up to Chapter 6, Filling in the Blanks. We discussed history and prophecy. We saw where E.B. Eliot had filled in the blanks up until the French Revolution and the after effects of that great convulsion in the history of the Christian Church and the Roman Empire, such as it has existed since and does exist until this very day. So we're going to fill in some of the blanks between the after effects of the French Revolution and until the day that we are living in. So let's open up our books, and we're on page 69 if you're following along. And if you'd like to get a copy of this book, go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and click on the free ebook tab there, and you can request it, and we will send you a link to where you can get a PDF version or e-copy of that for your, so you can read ahead or at your own leisure the entire book. Okay, let's open it up here. Chapter 6, Filling in the Blanks. We saw in our last chapter where the Protestant historicist interpretation of the Revelation left off after the French Revolution. Immediately after the opening statement of the sixth vial, the three frogs are introduced in the Revelation, for they are the spirits of devils. Notice that devils is plural. Now, the futurists would have you believe that there will be a singular false prophet to identify at some juncture, but a careful study reveals a wider view. In my view, if there is a named singular false prophet, he would be none other than the man of sin, the Antichrist. You have the true Christ, you have the Antichrist. You have the true prophet that Israel was expecting, that is the true Christ, the Messiah, and you have the Antichrist, who would be the false prophet. The three frogs. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The dragon, being representative of that old serpent and the devil, in this spirit we look for the continued and pervasive influence of religious pagan idolatry rising in the world at large and even gaining influence in the visible church. We also anticipate the final rise of persecution and wave of martyrdom, again emanating also from the visible church, directed at the true Bible-believing elect of God, as in the inquisitions of past. The beast, which also gets its power from the dragon, we recognize this beast as the Roman Empire, which morphs through history from the solid legs of iron in the Daniel chapter 2 image to the feet and 10 toes mingled with clay when it is struck by the stone cut out without hands and desolated so that no place is found for it anymore. We recognize this desolation as the same event, described in the Revelation as the fall of Mystery Babylon. The spirit coming from the mouth of this beast will result in the idolatry of statism, as those who bowed before the Mystery Babylon image of Nebuchadnezzar, and a combination of church-statism as practiced by the temporal reign of the biblical and historical Antichrist. The false prophet, from the G5578, is everywhere else in the Bible translated as plural, false prophets. Only in the Revelation is it translated as singular. Here it may be taken as plural. They are the spirits of devils, and should be, even if in any instance it may refer to a singular individual, as should the man of God, or even the man of sin, may refer to a singular pope or the whole line. The spirit of prophecy, being described as the testimony of Jesus, the false prophet, or spirit of false prophecy, would refer to the abundance of false gospels and the inundation of false prophecy and false Bible interpretation to deceive even the elect, if it were possible, as disseminated by these evil spirits in the final epoch leading up to the return of our Lord. So typical has the false prophet become that they are difficult to tell from the true prophet of God in the nominal church. We see these devilish spirits being loosed here for the specific purpose of organizing evil for their own ultimate destruction at the return of Christ. We also notice something similar at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, where Satan is loosed out of his prison to gather the forces of evil to battle against the camp of the saints. In both of these instances, the annihilation of those evil forces is the result. That there is paganism, statism, and false prophecy running rampant in the visible and nominal church is an undeniable reality to the discerning Bible believer. This era has seen an ever-increasing prominence of these evils, and will until the great day arrives. But how long is the three-frog era, and when did it begin? Would the evil that comes out of the mouth of the beast, that is human government, be consistent with the spirits that were loosed with the French Revolution? Undeniably. Consequently, this spiritual reality has developed and matured through the 19th and 20th centuries until this very day. Let me quote, "The legacy of the French Revolution, the loss of restraint." I would be remiss not to start with the darkest legacy of the French Revolution, namely the terror. It reverberates to this day through every violent act done by revolutionaries and terrorists, from the Bolsheviks to Bin Laden, in the name of the people. The historian J.L. Talman argues that the legacy of Jacobinism, the most radical part of the French Revolution, is totalitarian democracy, the messianic ideal born in the French Revolution, inspired the totalitarian movements of the 20th century, especially communism. But I would argue its influence is not limited to communism. It is present as well in all illiberal movements that restrict liberty in the name of equality and justice. Such illiberalism exists today in Russia, Venezuela, and Iran, where a facade of democracy masks oppression and corrupt rule. You see it in the populist nationalisms of the world that end up in dictatorship, as the French Revolution did with Napoleon. Plebiscitary democracy, where the people are allowed to speak only once and forever hold their peace, is also a legacy of the French Revolution. The fundamental error in this legacy was the loss of restraint. In their fervor to create a new humanity, the Jacobins in particular committed the cardinal sin of losing their humanity. To illustrate the point, it is well worth remembering that even Niccolo Machiavelli, who served in a diplomatic mission at the court of one of the cruelest tyrants in European history, Cesare Borgia, saw the necessity of restraint. In writing The Prince, which was modeled on Borgia, Machiavelli believed that sometimes evil had to be done to create the good, but he always understood that it was, after all, still intrinsically evil. It was an exception to the rule, if you will. That changed with the French Revolution. Now evil acts committed in the name of good became, in and of themselves, good. There are few ideas unleashed on the world that have caused more misery. While totalitarianism on the left and the right has had different philosophical roots and different aspirations, they were united in this one goal. Nothing could be allowed to stand in their way of totally transforming mankind and societies. This was equally true for Stalin as well as Hitler, for Pol Pot as well as Osama bin Laden. The direct ideological heirs of the French Revolution, socialism and communism, of course, have had a varied history. Gracchus Bobeau, The Conspiracy of Equals, 1796, was one of the last of the revolutionaries and the first to envision an absolute leveling of society. Marx and others turned socialism into communism as a critique of the capitalist system. Lenin and others transformed socialism into communism as a totalitarian movement. But today in the West, the socialist idea has been tamed. Socialist ideals have made their peace with elections and the capitalist system, becoming social democracies in Europe and the welfare state in the United States. These ideals are the very seed of the model exposed in Revelation chapter 13 about the monetary mark of the beast. Those who do not go along with the totalitarian tyranny of equals will be beheaded. They will be killed, and those who kill them will think that they do God a service. Of course, their God is the God of the Zeitgeist and the head of the beast, the Antichrist, who once again, through his Jesuit army, has permeated and dominated the outer court, the majority of the visible church on earth, as well as the secular mind at large. And just who are these persecuted ones that will be martyred? Revelation 12:17, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war on the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 14:12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." The time in which we live now is a church era increasingly dominated by the false prophet spirit. So we see the beginning of this era, and we understand the end, which is clearly expressed in the scripture text, "to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." Let us now attempt to fill in some of the interim events. Next time we come back, we will jump into chapter 7 of When the Third Temple is Built, the rapture play will begin, and you can learn about the interim events. If you would like to get a copy of this book, you can go to my website and get an e-copy for free by clicking on the free e-book tab there and taking advantage of the resources we have there. Just follow the instructions and we'll make sure you get a PDF or EPUB version of that. If you'd like to buy a copy, just click on the cover of the book there or go to the Get the Book tab and you can scroll down and find a link to our lulu.com author page, and you can peruse the different versions that you can buy it. You can get this in a trade publication, or you can get it in a pocketbook edition. All of those are available. Okay, well, we'll see you next time. Make sure you come back with us, and I want to thank you for joining me today on Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and may the Almighty bless you each and every day as you continue walking in His kingdom on the narrow way that leads to life.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the Scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.